This is the Big East Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. You bet it is hour two. Keep the tweets coming in at eRadio Sports Info at eRadiosports.com, podcastarena.com. Of course, hour two being powered by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hanging out in studio with us, providing the helping hand, is my wonderful producer, Jack McCraw. Give him a follow on Twitter at the Jack McCraw. Got to get that right, Jack. You changed your Twitter handle.
I had to. Apparently, you can't have numbers in your Twitter name anymore. You won't get as many followers.
All right. Well, let's continue to get our audience ready with the NFC Championship game. It will be game one between the Buccaneers and the Packers. So, I was just thinking about this on the drive in. You know, which Hall of Fame quarterback is under more pressure this weekend, Tom Brady or Rodgers?
I have to say it might be Aaron Rodgers, because Tom Brady has already played out his career, and if he retired right after this game, people won't think any less of his legacy, because he already won six Super Bowls with the New England Patriots, and he took a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that was middling in mediocrity and brought them all the way up to the NFC Championship game, where Aaron Rodgers, this is his, I don't know the exact number, but his like fifth NFC Championship game, I'm assuming, and he's only been to the Super Bowl one time. Like, if he wants to have this all-time elite status as a quarterback, he's got to win not just one Super Bowl, but multiple, and at least get to multiple Super Bowls as well. So pressures, I'd say, is more on Aaron Rodgers, and they're playing at home.
You know, there's so much to appreciate about both of these future Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but let's just focus in on Tom Brady. I mean, it's just remarkable what he continues to accomplish. What do you appreciate the most about Tom Brady?
The fact that he's not going anywhere. He's 43 years old, and he still looks like he's playing in his early 30s. He takes really good care of his body and just continues to marvel at what he's done. He's almost like a LeBron James, where they're just ageless wonders, and they just continue to play at high MVP levels year after year. And don't be surprised if Tom Brady is playing after next season as well.
What do you think the X factor on Sunday will be between the Buccaneers and the Packers?
I think it's going to be Devontae Adams.
Okay.
It's if Tampa Bay's defense can stop Devontae Adams, because Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, I've been saying this all season, is the most lethal QB wide receiver combo in football. If those two are on, it's going to be a rough time for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Do you anticipate this is going to be a close game?
Yes, I think it's going to be an offensive showcase, and I would say somewhere in between a 42 to 35 score.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. We will be right back.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect with us. Always live on Twitter at eRadio Sports, info at eRadiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. As always, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, championship weekend, it is set, and we are looking forward to watching the final four teams. We're going to take time in our next segment to break it all down. Always an honor to visit with two-time Super Bowl winning head coach with the Raiders. And although it's not official, but rumor has it, he will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2021. That is the great Tom Flores. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How are you doing? Everything good there?
Everything is great. It's been a while since we've had a chance to catch up, and we just want to start off our conversation with sending out a congratulations. I mean, you guided Oakland and the Los Angeles Raiders to two Super Bowl championships as a head coach, and now you are a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. So you've been nominated multiple times for this very special honor, but will 2021, is this going to be your year?
I certainly hope so. I really do. I mean, I came so close 2 years ago. I was sitting in my room in Atlanta, Super Bowl Saturday, waiting for the knock on the door, and the knock never came, and kind of got my balloon immediately deflated. And in the last 2020, it was kind of a bizarre year as is this year, and I'm not sure what led up to that in that direction. But this seems to be as good a chance as I've ever had. I'm optimistically excited, but not too excited because I've been there before, done that, and I don't want to be let down again.
Former Oakland Raiders and legendary coach, the great Tom Flores, is with us this morning on Sports Map Radio Network. You bet we're talking about 2021. He is a Pro Football inductee. You are the lone coaching candidate, and although it's not official, I mean, you are expected to be elected. So when did you find out that you had made the cut as a finalist?
Found out a while back, a couple of weeks back, when I got a nice call from David Baker telling me that, and then explained to me how the procedure was going to go, and when they were going to vote, and how they have to do it all by Zoom because of this the virus thing, and they're not even, I'm not sure they're even, they're not inviting all the nominees to the Super Bowl, just those that win. So they voted yesterday. I'm not sure how they're going to keep it a secret. They actually voted Tuesday.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure how they're going to keep it a secret until Super Bowl Saturday, because secrets are hard to keep like that.
For sure. So, Tom, what would this mean to you on a personal level to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well, it would be... to be honest with you, Elisa, I'm not sure, because I didn't realize how it would, how exhausting it would be. It was the last time when I sat there and did not make it. I didn't even want to stay for the game, so I flew home the next morning and watched the Super Bowl from here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to let it happen, and whatever happens, happens emotionally. But it would mean the culmination of a lifetime of my career and a passion for my career. Loved it. Every minute of it, still do. 60 years, at least. 60 years I've been in football, professional football.
Oh, my gosh, that's crazy. So, you know, Tom, I've interviewed you for so many years on my program. And, you know, as we think back, just the illustrious career you had, not only as a head coach, but also as a player with the Raiders organization. Let's narrow it down. I mean, do you have, like, a favorite memory? I mean, can you pick one?
Well, I think going back to, you know, I was an old AFL guy, quarterback, and I was the original quarterback for the Raiders. And I think one of my most favorite games was playing the Houston Oilers, the old Houston Oilers, when George Blanda was the head coach, was the quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And we played in Oakland, and the score, I threw 6 touchdowns passes, he threw 5, and we won 52-49. It was a very tight, conservative game. It mm-hmm. was a wide open, crazy game. But that's the way the AFL was in those days. That was the glamour. And I'll always remember that game because it was against George. And George and I became good friends after that, especially when he came to the Raiders.
You're listening to The Voice, former Oakland Raiders and legendary coach, 2021 Pro Football inductee. That is the great Tom Flores, who is back with us at Sports Map Radio Network. So before we preview this weekend's championship games of the AFC and the NFC, we want to get some of your takeaways from the Las Vegas Raiders season. Tom, help us out. I mean, what did we learn? I mean, they got off to such a great start, and then they kind of fizzled. They didn't have a flourishing finish.
No, and that's the one thing they're lacking right now, that finish in all their games. They couldn't finish. Some of them they did, and sometimes, you know, there was a part in the season this year where you said, whoa, they're playoff type of team. And then all of a sudden, they had a bad, bad month there and lost 3 or 4 or 5 games in a row. And so they have to be defensively. They have to be better. They're young, and I have to put a lot of it on their youth. They got rid of their defensive coordinator. They've got to improve. There are too many gaps, too many big plays, and. Not enough big plays of their own, although they did make some plays. And Derek Carr knows, he shows that he still knows how to win in the fourth quarter when he can get to that fourth quarter.
So the Raiders overall, I mean, they did improve their win total under John Gruden from the last three seasons. But you know what? It's all about winning. I mean, they did not make the playoffs. So just overall, your assessment of the job that John Gruden has done.
Well, I think, you know, good and bad. I'd have to give him an incomplete right now as a grade because he doesn't, you know, he's had some injuries. I'm surprised they did what they did with the offensive line they had. They had so many injuries to that offensive line throughout the whole season. And then they had some key injuries. So, it's hard to grade them right now because they're, you know, I don't like to do that. I don't like to grade a coach. He's one of my peers, and you know, what happens, and you let it happen. You just don't tell somebody else how to do their job. At least I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. That's right. You know, the offseason is here. You had talked about it just a moment ago that they've got to address their defensive issues. They did move on from their defensive coordinator. But what are some other areas, Tom, that you would like to see them kind of clean up so that they can be ready and they can advance beyond the regular season?
I think offensively they've got everything pretty much in place, really, assuming that Derek Carr, they feel good about Derek still. Derek's got a long-term contract, but all contracts have an out clause. But they have a lot of youth, a lot of speed, and if they stay healthy, their offense is going to be pretty potent. Defensively, as I mentioned, they need an alpha player over there on defense, one in the front seven that can just create havoc and make big plays. They haven't had one for a while. They haven't had one since Khalil Mack, and they need to have one. Somebody has to step up in that department, and they have to go for it, perhaps somebody of that category in the draft.
The great Tom Flores is with us at SportsMap Radio Network. We're going to move ahead. One more round to go before the Super Bowl championship weekend. It is set. Let's get our audience ready for the AFC-NFC championship. Hey, let's start with the Buccaneers and the Packers, two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. What are the chances that the Bucs blow out the Packers similar to Week 6 in that matchup? How do you see this game playing out?
Well, I don't think the people gave the Bucs, you know, a lot of credit before the season. You know, they were pretty good before Brady, but that was the only thing they needed. Somebody like Brady, their offensive line was pretty powerful. Their defense was impressive. They had some players that could make plays, and they proved it. Of course, Brady was the icing on that cake because he was able to. Take him. He knows how to win. He was able to make big plays in their big games. I don't know how you can beat Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how you can go in there and beat Aaron Rodgers, especially in Green Bay. So, tomorrow when they line up, it's going to be cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be cold everywhere. It's going to be cold in Buffalo, too. I've been in Buffalo and it's cold. So I'm going to be sitting here in 70 degree weather in Palm Springs watching the game. But I'd have to say I still think that the Packers are a little too much for them. But we'll see. Two great quarterbacks. I love them both.
Okay, so it sounds like you're kind of leaning a little bit more towards the Packers. But we talked about this in hour one with Kevin Harlan. I mean, will Brady's playoff experience, will that be an X factor against Green Bay? I mean, this guy knows how to get it done.
Yeah, well, you got to consider that. You know, you look at him, and assuming they can protect him, and they can run the ball on occasion. He'll make the big play for you. That's one thing that Aaron Rodgers can do. He'll make the big plays for you in these big games. But on the other side of the ball, so can Brady. I mean, he's made big plays for how many, 28 years?
Yeah.
Feels like
30.
It seems like forever when he took over for Drew Brees, Drew Bledsoe. When Drew Bledsoe, can you remember that name, Drew Bledsoe?
Okay.
That's the guy he replaced when he got hurt in New England, and he never gave. He never. he forgot to give it back.
always one of our favorites. We love him. Tom Flores, former Oakland Raider and legendary coach with us at SportsMap Radio Network. Okay, Tom, so you give some hit on the NFC Championship game. We got to talk about the Bills and the Chiefs. 6:30 kickoff Eastern time on CBS. And Andy Reid, just two wins away from a Super Bowl repeat. How do you think this is going to play out?
Andy Reid is so much fun to watch. It's hard to read him because he's always going to come up with something bizarre. I mean, the other day, fourth down and one, and he throws a pass. Fourth and one, he doesn't have his quarterback in there. I was in shock at the holy cow. Uh-huh. He's going to throw the ball. I could tell that was going to happen when the play started. I said, oh, my God. And he did it. Not too many people have that kind of guts. But that's Andy Reid for you. And, you know, the big issue, obviously, is Mahomes. And, the protocol is still on.
Yep.
And I'm sure it'll be on till tomorrow game time. If he can play, then you'd have to go with Kansas City. If he can't play, then, boy, I tell you, it'll be tough. And you know what? I played for both of those teams.
That's right. That's right. Tom, legendary two-time Super Bowl winning coach with the Oakland Raiders as a head coach and a quarterback. But let me follow up there. You are the proud owner of four Super Bowl rings, one as a backup quarterback with the Kansas City Chiefs, also an assistant coach with the Raiders, and two as the head coach of the Raiders. There are so many highlights throughout your incredible career, and we really appreciate you carving out some time and getting all of us ready for these big games on this championship weekend. Congratulations, and I'll be one of the first to text you when you get that green light for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We're so happy for you, Tom.
Thank you, Lisa, and you have a nice weekend, and stay. You're going to be watching it from home, I guess, the games.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, you bet.
Well, it's too cold. It's too cold there.
Well, we're down here in Houston, and it's been in the 60s all week, so we will be. Listen, thank you so much, Tom. Take care and stay safe.
You bet. Thank you.
Yes, stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us this morning live on Twitter at eRadioSports, info at eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com. We're getting you ready. AFC, NFC Championship. We've talked a lot about it. Right now, we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk some college football. Big movement in the offseason at the University of Texas as they have a new head coach with Steve Sarkisian. It didn't take long for them to get him on board after they fired Tom Herman, who went 32-18 in his four seasons at Texas. So we are delighted to have back with us one of our guests that we always go to that covers Texas, and that, of course, is Steve Habel, who is the college football correspondent for Field Level Media. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Alyssa. Thanks for having me on again.
It's great to have you back on the program. Happy New Year, first time on in 2021. So talk to us about why Texas felt that Steve Sarkisian was the right man for this job.
Well, he's the hot commodity among assistant coaches in college football. You know, Sarkisian has been a head coach before and had some success at Washington and USC. And he can call a heck of a game when you've got a bunch of stud racehorses at Alabama. And I think that game against the national championship game against Ohio State was an indication of what Texas people think he can bring to Austin. Doing that actually remains to be seen, Alyssa.
Mm-hmm. Veteran sports writer, covers the Longhorn, Steve Habel, our special guest at Sports Map Radio Network. Give us the pulse. I mean, how do Texas fans feel about Tom Herman's firing and Steve Sarkisian's hiring?
Well, I think everybody's pretty optimistic about things around here, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding in Austin, Alyssa. Coach Herman, as you stated his record earlier, has done pretty well here. He's never had a losing season as a total, which can't be seen about Charlie Strong, his predecessor. But he didn't beat Oklahoma. He beat them once in five times. He didn't win any conference championships. To be quite honest with you, Coach Herman was not the most likable person, and I think that kind of backed up on him. So Texas decided to go with the latest flavor of the month, which seems to be Sarkisian. like I said, you're going to have to find a way to beat Oklahoma in Big 12 Conference, and the rest of the conference is pretty salty too, with Iowa State and just about everybody else being better. So Coach Sark has his work cut out for him in Austin.
Okay, so Steve Sarkisian, you talk about how he was the hot commodity as far as coaches on the market. But ultimately, I mean, can he elevate Texas back to national prominence? I mean, you're talking about, and they have to beat Oklahoma.
You know, let's talk about national prominence first for Texas, Alyssa. You know, people talk about Texas as being such a storied program, and they were in the 60s and 70s, but Texas has won two conference championships since 1994. And both of them were undefeated regular seasons when they won the national championship, or excuse me, two conference championships. You know, they won the national championship and they beat USC after the 2005 season and then lost to Alabama and after the 2009 season. And, you know, Texas hasn't won any conference championships since then. Oklahoma has dominated. So, you know, the thought of Texas being a preeminent college football program is still is not completely on the table, Alyssa. I mean, Texas just has to take baby steps, and the first baby step is to be able to beat Oklahoma and try to claim something of that instead of thinking about national prominence at this point.
College football correspondent for Field Level Media, Steve Habel, our very special guest at SportsMap Radio Network. You bet we're talking some college football. So pull back the curtain and share the details on Steve Sarkisian's contract, because what Texas still owes Tom Herman about, what, $15 million to buy out the final 3 years of his contract, and they still owe, what, another $10 million for the remaining contracts of their assistants. I mean, man, you go to Texas, they pay you well.
Yeah, they do. They pay you well not to coach. They did that for Charlie Strong.
Steve.
All my buddies who are college football coaches looking for that long-term contract because, I mean, if they get fired, they're still playing some golf somewhere and having some fun. I think they gave Coach Sarkisian a 7-year contract for around $35 million. It's what proposal is. I mean, it hasn't gone to the Regents yet, which has to prove that. But it's pretty much in terms of what they had for Coach Herman, around $5 to $6 million a year, and that's pretty much the going rate for a top-notch college coach these days. Not the Nick Saban numbers, but pretty close to that. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the buyout for Coach Herman here, especially during the coronavirus when people have had to take furloughs and people have had to take a cut, but the athletic departments haven't been able to make money like they normally do, not even at Texas. So, you know, that was a big deal, but I think Texas has the deep-pocketed boosters that were able to take care of that for them, and other schools don't have that. So that's not as big of an issue here as it is at some other schools.
Well, some say Steve Sarkisian was a risky hire from his past, but worth the gamble. I just have to wonder, you know, what kind of impact will he have with recruiting?
Well, he knows he doesn't know hardly anything about Texas high school football, except for what he was doing as recovering as recruiting as basically an interloper from another college or from out of state. So he has to build those relationships. I think Coach Sark has a pretty good grasp of national recruiting. He'll bring a lot of players from California, maybe even some from Alabama because of his work there with the Crimson Tide and then as assistant coach for Atlanta in the NFL. So he's a big name. I think people are excited about seeing what he can do with the talent Texas already has.
Mm-hmm.
The talent he had at Alabama was otherworldly. When you got three guys out of the five going to the Heisman Trophy ceremony that play for your team, you got some pretty good players. I mean, and Ohio State was pretty good too, but I mean, they couldn't keep up with what Coach Sark had for them on that national championship game. So, you know, let's see. Time will tell. You know, in Texas, it's all a recruiting game. But I always think that the best coaches are people who can coach up players. Once you get them on campus, you know, guys like Matt Campbell at Iowa State, who doesn't hardly ever get a 4- or 5-star recruit, but, you know, he still wins games. And guys like Texas Tech and Kansas State. So when you get them on campus, you still got to coach them up a little bit.
Okay, we are wrapping up our time. College football correspondent for Field Level Media, that is Steve Habel. Next time we have you on the program, we're going to talk about what kind of team does Steve Sarkisian inherit and that quarterback position, the big battle between Casey Thompson and Hudson Card. So enjoy the championship weekend with the AFC NFC, and we'll talk during spring training, okay?
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Love to hear from our audience and all of our listeners across the country. At E-Radio Sports, we're live on Twitter, info at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. You bet it is time to prepare for road trips. So before your travel begins, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Here we go. Championship weekend. It is set. Four teams left. And before we preview the big games on Sunday, we are so excited to welcome back. That is Andy McNamara, National Fantasy Sports host on Sportsnet. Good morning, Andy.
Oh, Alyssa, good morning. Thank you for having me back on. Always love being on with you guys.
Well, we've got one more round to go before the Super Bowl. Yeah. And like I said, you know, championship weekend, it is set. We are super excited about that. But we got to talk about your favorite team that just wrapped up their memorable season. And that, of course, is the Browns. So they finished 11-5. They clinched their first winning season since 2007. I think faith has been renewed. A little bit of a revival going on in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Alyssa, it is just... It's so weird because I like usually this time of year for Browns fans, it's okay, what coach are we firing or hiring or what quarterback are we going to draft? That's not there. We found the franchise QB in Baker Mayfield. You found your head coach in Kevin Stefanski. You also, on top of the first winning season, you have your first playoff victory since 1995 when Bill Belichick was your head coach, and you won for the first time in Heinz Field to beat Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin in 17 years.
Wow.
Like, just so many things were squashed out so that Browns fans don't have to see those graphics on the network TV of, hey, they've been losers for this long. Now you can start to move on. So very excited.
Okay, so the future is bright. So let's move ahead. I mean, what are the expectations in 2021?
Well, I think for the Browns, the expectations have got to be, okay, now you get a full, fingers crossed, you know, things get sorted with the virus and everyone's vaccinated and feeling good and all that. But you'll get your first full off season and second season for Baker Mayfield in this system. Remember, that's something he has not been able to do since coming in 2018. He's had four different offensive coordinators and game plans.
Oh, that's right.
So
yes.
Look at what he, like, for example, look at what Josh Allen has been able to do in Buffalo. Three straight, his whole career, same coach, same play, game plan, same offensive coordinator. Baker gets to do that a second year. Kevin Stefanski, rookie head coach, gets to be, and now has gone through everything. So the expectations for me, considering the decline of the Pittsburgh Steelers, that the Bengals aren't going to have Joe Burrow back at the start of the year, and the Ravens are kind of in flux, to me, it has to be to win the division. Like, that has to be the goal, win the division, and then at least get to the conference championships. I think this team on offense is set. You got to have a real good draft and free agency period on defense. You got to get a pass rusher opposite Myles Garrett. Olivier Vernon, torn Achilles, he's gone. You got to get a viable, true pass rusher to help. Because Myles Garrett was being doubled and triple teamed, and no one else was taking advantage of it on the Browns. You have to get that extra defensive end. Then you got to deal with some cornerback depth, linebacker, a little bit of safety as well. So there's a lot to do on the defense. But if things fall right, there's no reason that this team cannot win the division.
You know, Andy, you highlight some of the top priorities in the offseason and pinpoint the areas that they need to improve and upgrading the roster. But, you know, as we step back and we talk about the head coach, his first year in Kevin Stefanski, in your mind, is he the coach of the year in the NFL?
I think 100% he has to be. And that's not just me being, you know, a Browns fan and thinking, you know, I want my head coach to win. I think when you look at what he's been able to accomplish and the history of the franchise, we just rolled through all the failures, all the infighting, everything. You not in 1 year, you broke a playoff drought, the longest in the NFL since 2002. You won your first playoff game since Belichick was your head coach. You beat the Steelers, just like we all listed off. He took this franchise and not only made it to the playoffs, I would have said he should win it if they even made the playoffs, to win a playoff round and then come within one score beating the defending Super Bowl champs. I don't really see how you go in a different direction for Coach of the Year.
Okay, so let's talk about the quarterback in Baker Mayfield. Where does he stand? I mean, if he was to get an extension with his contract, what would that look like?
Yeah, I think here's what I think we're going to see. That the Browns are going to prioritize Nick Chubb, the running back, first for contract, because he was a second-round pick, so he doesn't get that fifth-year option. So he's going into the last year. I would expect as soon as the season's over and the league year starts back up, Baker Mayfield's getting that fifth-year extension as a first-round pick right away. And then similar to what they did to Myles Garrett, like they upped Myles Garrett, I think it was in March a year ago for the fifth year, and then they did the long-term extension in the summer. I would expect something like that. Now, they still have the flexibility to say, hey, you know what? We now have Baker for two years for sure. Let's see what he does in this second year. But the risk of that, of course, is the longer you wait for quarterbacks, the next guy that gets signed, that price tag keeps going up. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something probably in the range of like what Deshaun Watson got. So that $150 million deal, $39 million a year type of range, mm-hmm. that would be my guess, because he did win a playoff game, and you can sort of have those comparables to Deshaun Watson. But I think it's not just to sign a guy and hope. Since the bye week, since Baker learning on the fly this offense, he had like one interception since Odell Beckham Jr. went down in the regular season, just one in the playoff game versus the Chiefs. The guy is getting much more comfortable, and we're seeing why he was the first overall pick.
So what were your expectations for Baker Mayfield when he arrived in the league?
Yeah, well, great point, Alyssa. Yeah, and if there's anyone to handle all the adversity, it's Baker. He said at the combine, he said, if anybody's going to turn the Cleveland Browns around, it's going to be me. People laughed at him. I don't blame him. No one had been able to remember that quarterback jersey, right?
Uh-huh.
The list, page, all that. So it seemed ridiculous at the time. So my expectation was, look, my expectations for Browns quarterbacks were so low. I'm like, I just want a serviceable guy. I want a guy who's not going to be an embarrassment. Like if I honestly, back then, if you were to tell me you'd get like Andy Dalton upside, just like a nice, steady guy who's going to be fine, I would have taken it. But now what we look at how he's been able to develop in this system developed specifically for him with Kevin Stefanski and that style, that play action style, ratio.
Well, and I was going to say, Andy, I mean, what would you like to see him do better?
I would say I still want to see him, you know what, going through the progressions, I was going to say progressions, but he really improved on that. So what I would like to see is still continue to improve on, take what the defense gives you. Don't always look for that long ball. You know, I know he's fearless and can fit into tight windows, but sometimes it's better to just dump it off, bring the defense in a little bit, and then go for the deep ball later, which he has been improving on. So I would say let's improve on that and continue to improve on making those smart decisions and not get a little too cowboy, right? Not get a little too gunslinger. Okay, I'm gonna do it all myself. You got pieces around to do it. You got two of the best running backs in football, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Take those and blend it. And I think we're going to see him grow because the mentality of that team right now is truly team. And that's something we haven't seen in Cleveland in 20-plus years.
He is an analyst, a writer, a national fantasy sports host on Sportsnet. We love him. That is Andy McNamara. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Andy, MCND81. We love talking about his Browns. A real quick follow-up question. I mean, will Odell Beckham Jr., will he be back?
Well, he's going to be back. Now, the question is when. Now, apparently, he is ahead of schedule rehab-wise. The original timetable was sort of like October, November-ish. The ACL is tough, and how somebody comes back from it is difficult. Now, it's not the same debilitating injury it once was. You know, the science is quite improved on it. I just wonder how this offense is going to look, because whether by mistake, accident, or just getting familiar with the offense or not, Baker Mayfield only threw one interception after Odell Beckham Jr. went down in the second Cincinnati Bengals game. Was that an accident? Can he be worked in? Do they try forcing him the ball like they did since he arrived? Because after that, it seemed like the pressure was off. So that's interesting. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, we're going to trade him. Well, you're not going to trade a guy who's not even back yet. What are you going to get for Odell Beckham Jr. who's rehabbing an ACL? So I think he's going to be there, and it's going to be really interesting how he fits in and how patient the front office and coaching staff is if things start to get a little strained When it comes to Baker either trying to force him the ball too much or not enough.
Hey, the NFL playoffs 2020-2021 are going to be getting underway, and we want to get your preview and thoughts on the AFC Championship game, the Bills and the Chiefs. Andy Reid is just two wins away from a Super Bowl repeat. How do you see this game playing out?
Boy, both these games are just, like popcorn, sit down, don't bug me for
you
Sunday.
Bet. Mm-hmm.
Right? They're just, oh my gosh, you got storylines all over. I believe that the Buffalo Bills are going to win this game. And I would have... Yes, that was still going to be my pick. Even if Patrick Mahomes is at 100%, now we still have... There's the concussion issue. There's the, okay, if he plays, does one wrong hit take him out? Also, one thing that's not being talked about enough, his toe injury, which is being categorized as turf toe, is equally important to the head injury in that, not that a toe's more serious than your head, but in that when Patrick Mahomes has to pivot. Now he's, like we know, he's mobile, not necessarily going to run first like a Lamar Jackson, of course, but he needs to move around in that pocket. So what I expect is the Buffalo Bills to really pressure him from that side, get him uncomfortable, get him, not even blitz him per se, but get him moving and work on that toe. Because after he hurt that in the Browns game, he wasn't the same. That causes problems when you're pushing, you're planting, you're pivoting. So I think when we look at that, the defenses can be comparable. The run games, it's two similar offenses. Both teams don't like to run the ball that
right,
much.
Right.
And so you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire still banged up. So I think if it comes down to, if we're thinking, okay, most things here are a wash, except you got Travis Kelce as the I think the real X factor in that offense where Buffalo doesn't use the tight end as much.
Okay, so Andy, what do you think the Bills learned from that loss in Week 6 when they played the Chiefs? I mean, they're 12-1 since that meeting.
Yeah, it's funny how sometimes that works. I think what it showed is, all right, since that point, they clearly used it as a form of a reboot, maybe a little bit of a rallying call. And they can say, look, there's nothing saying that we can't hang with anybody in the league, defending Super Bowl champs or not. And I think that what that used was an extra reboot motivation, sort of at that, just past that core point of the season, of being able to say, what are we? We going to be pushed around or are we going to take over? And they used it as a takeover mentality. So I think it's a little bit of revenge there. Again, if like God love Chad Henne for, you know, running and he got that first down for the Chiefs to beat my Browns.
Yeah, you
but
bet.
Mm-hmm. If you get Chad Henne, if he has to go in there, a ball game for Buffalo. And if Pat Mahomes, even at not at 100%, is still so tremendous. I think both these games are going to be pick-ems. And I would say this, from a fantasy football advice, if you're going in some DraftKings contest, Alyssa, avoid Patrick Mahomes at quarterback and go at a Josh Allen at a much cheaper rate at a $6,900 price tag and sort of start your battle from there. I would try to avoid Patrick Mahomes in any fantasy DraftKings contest.
NFL playoffs 2020-2021 will continue with Andy McNamara after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, we're back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we're going to rejoin National Fantasy Sports host with Sportsnet, Andy McNamara. Okay, so the stage is set. AFC Championship game, 6:30 kickoff Eastern Time on CBS, the Bills and the Chiefs. Let's move ahead and let's talk about the NFC Championship, the Buccaneers and the Packers. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch, really. The showcase showdown of veteran quarterbacks between Brady and Rodgers. So who's got the edge?
Boy, this is... just like the other game, and maybe even more so, this one is a pick 'em. Because we look at the Buccaneers' defense, start of the year was really good and sort of trailed off. Like that pass can be had. The run defense is pretty stout. Now, they got Vita Vea back, who is just that big clog. Like he's a square, he's a condominium right in the middle of that line. So you get that guy in there to plug up maybe Aaron Jones. Maybe trying to make the Packers a little more one-dimensional. I think this is going to be one through the air regardless. And when I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, okay, Rodgers to get back to the dance. Who is, if we take the defenses again, I think Tampa's defense is better, but Green Bay's is fine. Like it can get you where you need to go. It's not exciting. But then where are the weapons? And if Tom Brady is left unharassed, he is in a comfort zone that, Alyssa, we've seen him so often in New England, right? What was the problem with the first part of the year for Brady? Didn't have chemistry, didn't have flow. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, in and out of the line. If you bring in Antonio Brown, you have to work him in. Gronk shaking off the rust. Well, the last half, and specifically the last quarter of this season, we've seen Brady in lockstep. We've seen the flow, the rhythm. He's got the footwork. So for, if I'm the Packers, I am trying everything possible to get him uncomfortable. Because if he's allowed to use, like, if you're the Packers, who are you covering? Mike Evans? Okay, you go to Godwin. You go to Antonio Brown. Oh, yeah, there's Gronk. You can even throw in Cameron Brate. The running backs don't excite me too much, but heck, they can make play Fournette from time to time. Ronald Jones still banged up. So I think the Buccaneers just have more weapons, whereas for Green Bay, where Lazard or MVS can sort of go, it's really Davante Adams and Aaron Jones. So I think just the plethora of weapons for Tampa Bay pushes them over the edge. But boy, I can't wait to see this. We're talking Lambeau, win or go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Alyssa, how about this? If you have, if my prediction of the Bills going, I'm excited. If you got the Bills prediction going to the Super Bowl,
What a weekend we've got ahead of us. AFC, NFC Championship. Our very special guest has been Andy McNamara. Follow him at AndyMC81. He is with Sportsnet, and you just have to think, Tom Brady, if he leads the Buccaneers to the first title game, that's got to be perhaps one of his biggest achievements of all time.
Oh, my gosh. To be able to do it with two teams. And you know what? It's not fair to say, oh, if Brady does this, it was all Tom in New England. It wasn't, right? Bill Belichick deserves a whole bunch of credit. We know that.
Yep.
But that, you know, just the big picture, it would look like Tom would have won that. And that is absolutely huge. So I can't wait to watch these games. And Alyssa, I got to say, for your listeners, if you haven't really tried fantasy football this year, get in on the DraftKings contest. You can do the showdown where you can do head-to-head battles. You can do the classic where you can work in players from both teams in a salary cap. So much fun. And, of course, if you need any fantasy football advice, you can hit me up on Twitter as well.
Okay, good stuff. Andy, enjoy the game. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you real soon, okay?